Good to be with you again. Thinking yesterday, after we got here, how swiftly time flies by. Exactly a year ago we were here. And it just seems as if it was last week, but I guarantee you it wasn't. 12 months. It's always a privilege, no matter where I'm asked to go, to stand and say something for the Lord. Because He's done so much for me. Made a difference in my life and done many wonderful things. And I'm sure that that's a reason that you're all here this morning, because of what God has done in your life. He's a great and a mighty God, and we have much to be thankful for. And that my wife and I are privileged to be here, and we look forward to spending this time with you, sharing with you what God has laid on our hearts, and trust that we will all be blessed as we allow God to speak to our hearts from His precious Word. I want to share with you this morning, actually for the 3 Sundays that I'm here, I'm going to be looking in Ephesians. And we want to do a study, as God permits, on the believer's position in Christ. A believer's position in Christ. Before we open the Word this morning, let's just look to the author. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for this privilege that we have once again to come to the chapel at Spanish Wells, to enjoy the fellowship with these wonderful people. Most of all, Father, to talk about You, of Your love, of Your goodness, of Your mercies, which is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank You for the privilege we have to open Your Word this morning, Father. We pray that we may allow You to speak to our hearts today. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. And we pray, Father, that as we come to the conclusion of the service this morning, that each of us may be encouraged to seek to do Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to look at the believer's position in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1. And then next Sunday, if the Lord be not come, we'll look at chapter 2, being alive in Christ. And on the third Sunday, we want to look at the believer's growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we want to look at the first 14 verses, as time permits, and go through this morning. We pray that our hearts will be blessed. The Apostle Paul, writing in chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's the theme this morning, being in Christ. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. I'm sure that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. We want to think about today being chosen in Christ. And this morning, as we look through these passages of Scripture, we want our thoughts and our minds to look towards the fact that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. Each of us that have accepted Him as our personal Savior, we are in Christ. But we're not in Christ just for the future. We're not in Christ just what we may expect in eternity. But as believers, we are in Christ now. We are in Christ now and for all eternity. That's a wonderful part about it all. To know and to realize the importance that we are in Christ and we are in Him for all eternity. And as believers, as we go through this passage of Scripture this morning, I trust that we may see the importance of the priorities in our life being that Christ is not just a view that we hold, that Christ is not just a tradition that's been handed down to us, but that He is a reality in our lives. And that we live that reality every day of our lives. Not just on a Sunday or Wednesday, but we live the reality that we are His, that we are in Him, and He is our Father every day that we live. And that's important to you and I this morning. There are three things that I want us to look at as time permits here this morning in this. The first one is found in verses 3-6, is that believers are chosen by the Father. We're chosen by the Father. The Apostle Paul says, in the first verse that we read, he says, "Praise God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." You know, there's three words here in particular in that first six verses that a lot of people have problems with. The first one is in the fourth verse, "He hath chosen us." In the fifth verse, "He hath predestinated us." And in the sixth verse, "He has accepted us." We find it hard to believe sometimes. How that God, the Father, could choose us. Is this saying to us that God has special people, that God has particular individuals that He loves more than others? And the answer is no. You see, in the beyond, the eons of time that you and I can't figure out, God had a divine plan. God always has a divine plan. We may not think so, but God has a divine plan for everything that happens in life. No matter what it is in our lives, no matter what happens in our world in which we live, it's a divine plan of God. Men may think that they control a lot and we're so brilliant at times, but everything that we see happening is a part of the divine plan of God for the human race. And God had a divine plan, and He planted the church way back. He planted the church, not this building, not any other building that we go to. But the church is made up of individuals like you and I who have accepted the gift that He gave us. That we have come into the beloved, as we have read. That we have become in Christ, and thus we are a part of the church. That church is made up of every believer in this building this morning. Of every believer around the world. We're part of that church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I was thinking, as going through this even yesterday, after I got here, I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't build his church on Peter, like many people believe. A lot of people today still practice and preach or teach the fact that the church of Jesus Christ is built on Peter. Because he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And I thank God he didn't build it on Peter. Because it would have gone down really fast. But he was referring to himself. He built the church. I will build my church. And that church was the church of individuals. And it was a part of the divine plan of God the Father. He planned the church, but God the Son paid the price for it. God the Son paid the price for the church. He left the splendors of heaven. He came to this sin-cursed world. He lived among men. He set examples for you and I to follow. He went to that old rugged cross, and there he paid the price for the church. That's you and I. You and I. A part of the beloved, a part of the chosen, a part of the predestined. And not because he loved me or he loved you more than anyone else. No. You see, he gave all man a free choice. He didn't just go around and pick you and you and you and say, I have chosen you to be in the beloved. I have chosen you to be in Christ. I have chosen you to go a different path from the other one. No. If he had done that, what would be the purpose of sending Jesus to die? Did he know that you and I would accept him and become a part of the chosen, a part of the beloved in Christ? Sure he did. He wouldn't be God if he didn't. Did he know that there would be others who would not accept and go the wrong way and end up in everlasting punishment? Sure. But he gave all man a free choice. He gave all man a free choice. And for every one of us this morning that have accepted him as our personal Savior, we've been chosen by God to be a part of the family of God. And that's not saying that those who do not know him, that there's not a privilege and an opportunity for them as well. God would like all man everywhere to become a part of the family of God. To be in Christ. But not all are. But thanks be to God for those who are. Those who have accepted him. And the scripture says that we are in Christ. We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. See, that's a condition. That's the only way that we can be in Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be a part of the family of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be a part of the church of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God that God loved us so much that he was willing to give us the opportunity to become his sons and daughters. To become a part of the chosen family of God. To be a child of God. You know, I often think many times as I sit and study the Word and allow the Lord to speak to my heart. As believers, I don't believe that we fully come to that point where we realize who we are and what we have in Christ. We're sons and daughters of some family. And that's important. But I want to tell you, when you sit down and allow God to speak to our hearts and realize that we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, that's important. That's precious. There is nothing that can surpass that, no matter what. To know within my heart life that I am a son of God. That I am a child of God. Because I am in Christ. Because he hath given me, you, the privilege to be a part of his family. Because I was special? No. But because I accepted the choice that he gave. He gives us all a free will and a free choice. And when we accept that, then we become a part of his family. And we become a child, children of Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Then in the third verse that I read, the very first one, Paul says, praise God. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. You see, we're blessed. Oh, I know that there are times in our lives when we don't feel like it. There are times in our lives when we have some difficult situations and we go from one thing to the other in life. But putting all of that aside, as believers in Christ, we are blessed. And I'm not talking about material blessings of life. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings that we receive from God through Jesus Christ. Because we are in Christ. Because we have committed our life to Him. He now supplies to us those spiritual blessings. And oh, thank God that for every morning that we awake, those spiritual blessings are there. They're always there. He provides to us that joy and that peace and that happiness and that security and that hope and assurance that we can't find in anything else in life, but we can find it in the spiritual blessings of God. The world doesn't understand what the believer talks about. You walk up to a non-believer and you said, I am so happy in the Lord, and He has blessed me abundantly today. And the first thing they think of was, well, He must have allowed someone to give you some money, or you've come into some good fortune or the other. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that peace of God that passes all understanding. And I want to tell you, my friend, if you have the peace of God in your heart, you know what I'm talking about this morning. It's not just something you turn off and on as a spigot. But it's there because we have that relationship with God. And I want to tell you, it's wonderful. It's marvelous. There's nothing like it. To know the peace of God, which passes all understanding. To have that assurance of God in our hearts and in our lives. That goes beyond this life. We have a hope that goes beyond this life. I conducted a funeral on Friday. Day before I came here. And I reminded those that stood at that graveside. For so many people in this life, their hope is there, and that's it. At that graveside, in 6 feet of sand. And it's finished. But for the child of God, in Christ, we have that assurance. Like the Apostle Paul says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? It's not there. Because our victory is in Jesus. We are in Him. Thank God this morning that He has chosen you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ to be in Christ, to be a part of Him. Then in verses 7 through 10, we see believers have been redeemed by the Son. Thank God. We're not redeemed by what we have. We're not redeemed by what we do. We're not redeemed by who we know in this life. But we're redeemed by the Son of God. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, how wonderful. My heart rejoices every time I read that passage of Scripture. To know that you and I, who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been redeemed by His blood. You know, if it was something that could be bought, perhaps you and I wouldn't have it today. It would have been bought up a long time ago. But God gave it to us free through His Son. Through the shedding of His precious blood on Calvary. We accept Him and acknowledge Him. He forgives our sins according to the riches of His grace. Not my grace. Not anybody else's grace. Not the king's grace or the prime minister's grace, but by the grace of God. Oh, I'm so happy that our God is in charge. That our God is in control and that He offers to us through His Son His grace and His mercy and His love. And we can receive it through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed by the Son of God. Verse 8 says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. What is the mystery of His will? That all men are alike in His sight. We're all on an equal basis, Gentile and Jew, whatever we may be, in God's sight, we are on equal basis. And the mystery of His will is that together we form the church of Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ. Now, I know that there are many religious teachings throughout this world, but as far as I am concerned, and I trust that you are too, this morning, that there is only one way. One way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Having made known unto us that we are on equal basis and that we can be a part of His family according to His good pleasure. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation or the plan of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In other words, His plan is yet to be fulfilled. His plan for your life and mine is not yet fulfilled. But one day it will be. And that day will be when we get home as believers in Christ, when we stand in His presence and look in His face. And the hymn writer says, that will be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, when by His grace, I, and for every one of us here this morning that's in Christ, we can point the finger and say, when by His grace, I will look on His face, that will be glory. Glory for me. See, we're not going for anybody else. You're not going for your wife, your husband, your children, neither am I. But we're going for ourselves. The gift is available to all, whosoever comes. And when we come, we become a part of the chosen, a part of the predestined, a part of the children, the family of God in Christ. And every one of us must make that decision. And I want to tell you, from my personal experience of life, and I'm sure there are many of you here this morning that can say the same thing, there is nothing better in this life than to be in Christ. I don't care what we have. I don't care who we are. But to be in Christ, to have that assurance in our hearts that we can say, I am His and He is mine. That's worth more today than anything that you or I could ever have in this life. To be in Christ, so that one day when the fullness of time, He might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Then he goes on to say, and this is another beautiful portion of Scripture, in verses 11 through 14, he talks of the believers being sealed by the Holy Spirit. So not only are we chosen by God, not only are we redeemed through His Son, but we are sealed by His Spirit. In other words, when we come to Jesus Christ and acknowledge and accept Him as our Savior, we are sealed by the Spirit of God for time and all eternity. We don't have to worry if we make a mistake or something that, I'm out of fellowship with God and I'm going to hell. No. If you made it right with God, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And if we make a mistake, that Spirit of God will speak to our hearts. And if we love God, we'll make it right with God. We're sealed for time and eternity as His children. I like to look at the picture as this. I've always been the son of Gilbert Roberts. That will never, ever change as long as I live. I was born into his family as his son. He's gone. I'm still here, but I am still his son. You and I who have accepted Jesus Christ, you and I who are in Christ this morning, we are sons and daughters of God for now, for tomorrow, for time, and all eternity. Thank God. Thank God that we have that assurance. We're sealed. Look at verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Who is he talking about? In whom? He's not talking about our family ties. Because sometimes if we depend on our inheritance down here from our families, we're going to end up with very little or nothing at all. Others are more fortunate. I know if I depended on my inheritance from my dad, who was a minister most of his life, I wouldn't have anything. But I thank God the inheritance I received from him was the example that he gave me of a Christian dad, which was greater far than anything else he could have left me in life. But I'm talking about physical inheritances. We may not have any. But those of us who have Christ as our Savior, we have an inheritance. And it's not where moth and rust break through, or thieves break through and steal, but it is in heaven. Your inheritance and mine this morning is in heaven. And that's what we have to look forward to. It's ours. It's there. And it depends on each of us individually how much we want to add to that. Because I personally believe that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can add to our joy and our glory when we get home. I believe that as we work for God, as we do the will of God, our blessings in heaven will abound abundantly and beyond our wildest imaginations. But we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. There's that word again. People don't like to hear that. Predestinated. Something done before I was there? No, it's just a part of the plan of God that we become a part of. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. But then notice what he says in the 12th verse. And this is important to you and I as believers. That we should be to the praise of his glory. So then, he takes it from him and he puts it on me. He says, I've done my part. I've done my part. I've given you my son. You have the opportunity. You accept him. Now there's something that you need to do. There's something that you need to do. We should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So it's our responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to live our lives according to His will. To live our lives according to His plan for our lives. You see, God has a plan for every one of our lives. Away back, if I might be a little bit personal, away back in the early years of my life, I felt that God had a plan for my life. And it took me to go through some serious sickness. I almost died at an early age. And God really spoke to me through that. Not only did He speak to me, but He spoke to my dad as well, very strongly, what he should tell me about his service. And after that bout of sickness, I began to work for the Lord more than I ever did. But I never really felt called to go into the ministry full time. Never. You see, people say, well, how do you know when God calls you or when you're supposed to be doing something? Believe me, let me tell you, you will know. The Holy Spirit will tell you when God wants you and what He wants you to do. It wasn't until 2 years ago, and perhaps I told you this when I was here before, and forgive me if I repeat myself, but I was preparing a sermon on a Sunday morning to preach in the Gospel Chapel in Marsh Harbor. But actually it was a day or two before. And when I got through preparing that message, I knew that God was speaking to me. There were tears in my eyes and a conviction in my heart that this was the time that God wanted me to move at. And thank God I did. And I want to tell you something. God has been with me and blessed all the way through. You see, we have to do what God wants us to do. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God has called you to be a minister or a song leader or what. But God has called each of us to do something and be something for Him. It's on us, and it's our responsibility to live our lives for Him according to His will. Find out and do what He wants us to do. He will bring us along. I saw it in my own personal life. He will bring us along. For over 25 years, He brought me along. Now I can look back and see the reasons as He did. And I thank God for what He did in my life. I'm not ashamed to own Him as my Savior no matter where I go. I know what He did in my life. I know what He continues to do. I know what He will continue to do. And I honor and praise Him for it. That's what He wants us to do. He says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Let His life, not mine. I tell you something. I wouldn't be standing here in this chapel talking to you this morning if it was my will and my way. Absolutely not. But it is because of God's will. It is because of the change in my life. And I'm sure that's why you're here this morning. You could probably find other reasons not to be here this morning. But because you love God, and because He's made a change in your life, and you have a desire to serve Him, you're here. And we need to always remember that in our lives. To live our lives for the praise of His glory. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard. We heard the word, we trusted. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Every one of us today who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we're sealed with that Spirit of promise that Jesus is ours and that He's coming back to take us to be with Him. Forever. That's a wonderful promise. I want to tell you today, there is no greater promise in all of life like the promise that Jesus made. He said, I am going to come back. I'm going away, but I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a wonderful promise. Verse 14, and then I will close, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, we have a guarantee that he's coming back for us. We have a guarantee as believers in Christ that we're going to live with him throughout the countless ages of eternity. And you know something? Wouldn't change that today for nothing in this world. Absolutely nothing. To have that promise and that assurance that my inheritance is sealed with that spirit of promise and that I'm going to see my Savior someday. That I am his purchased possession. Every one of us that are believers in Christ today, we are his purchased possession. We belong to him. I like the words of that hymn that says, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not just for time alone, but for all eternity. Praise God. Not just for the now. Because if it was just for the now, it wouldn't be worth it. If it was just for the now, many of us would probably have committed suicide a long time ago because of the problems of our lives. But we have that assurance that it is for time and all eternity. And beloved Christian friends this morning, may I say to you, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The best is yet to come. Being in Christ is fantastic. But to see Christ one day is going to be worth it all. Are you in Christ this morning? Oh, I trust so. If not, why not? He offers more than anything anyone else in this life could ever offer to you or I. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for loving us so much, affording to us lost sinners the opportunity to be in Christ, the opportunity to be a part of the beloved, the opportunity of knowing and having an assurance that through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death in Calvary and our acceptance of him, one day, we're going to live with you throughout the countless ages of eternity. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this assurance today. Thank you for the comfort that we have each day of our lives, knowing that you are our Father. Bless your word to our hearts, we pray today, Lord. Be with us through the remainder of this day and through this time that we spend together here with the dear people. May our hearts together be blessed and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you this morning for your attention, and God bless you.